Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is the breakdown of the beatdown of Rutgers. What a fantastic game by the Illini to start off the Big Ten season this year. We saw a phenomenal game, one that the Illini still having battling the flu, battling injury, and yet they come out with a tremendous victory. Brad, you know, you got a chance to see it up close and personal. This is Mike Kegley. We got Brad Sturdy, another Illini guy. We got Kedrick Prince, director of recruiting for Illini guys. Brad, what did you see that really stood out to you coming out of the game?
Yeah, I think you look at offensively. I thought defensively, Illinois is great. I think Ked will have some stuff. I'm sure he's going to talk about that. But I thought offensively, Illinois is a pick your poison right now. If you're going to double Kofi finds open guys now, which is something he hasn't done, and he's actually enjoying that as a player. And he did grab 15 rebounds too, but 13 and 15, and he had a couple of assists, but how many hockey assists did he have? Where it's like he makes the right read, and then when they close out, you know, it's one extra pass, and then it's Plummer draining the three, it's Grandison draining the three. It's Frazier, it's somebody, you know, just hit Luke Goody, hit an open shot. So I think they're in a pick your poison mode, or you got to play Kofi one-on-one. And there are very few guys in the Big Ten or in the country, if he gets the ball deep, that can stop him one-on-one. So I think that's huge offensively. So I love that. I love seeing Alfonso Plummer. He was 3 of 8 from three, which is fine. That's a good day. You know, you think about, but he was 5 of 7 from two. And of course he hasn't missed a free throw yet this season, knock on wood, but he was 5 of 7 from two. He got to the rim and he finishes. And I actually asked Coach Underwood about it in the post game. And it's been a surprise how good he is at taking the ball to basket. And they do this. He talked about a drill that they do where they have the bigs jump straight up in the air and you have to finish over them. And he's one of the best guards they have, or perhaps the best guard at finishing in that situation, because he is so good, adept at it. And it's just his ability to use his body and so forth. So those were the big takeaways that I had.
Okay. Kedrick, on the defensive side, why don't you give us a rundown on a night that, boy, it was a tough night for the Scarlet Knights out there.
Well, you know, you're exactly right, Mike. It was a tough defensive night. And the Illinois fans, and I know I've been waiting all season to see them actually get on guard. The thing I've complained about the most for them to take the next step is turning the ball over. You and Brad both mentioned, Mike, that they only had 10 turnovers a game. I harp on those things because it's just a coach in me. You know, it's a waste of possession when you turn the ball over the way they turn it over. Defensively, I'm going to tell you right now, I know I love the offensive Plummer. I thought Payne did a good job, as Brad mentioned, but my player of the game and defensively to me, my hat goes off to Coleman Hawkins. Ron Harper Jr. has torched Illinois. I mean, just flat out torched them. The mindset that Coleman Hawkins, I've never seen him defend like that. And he made it tough for Ron Harper Jr. to look over him. And if you think about it, because Coleman didn't play last year, it was Demonte Williams and Jacob Grandison trying to guard a guy that was who had 3 or 4 inches over him. And that didn't work this time. The game plan was nice. I love the fact that he was able to close out. And you could tell Harper was frustrated. He was very frustrated because nothing he tried worked. And, you know, as much as people want to, you know, criticize Coleman, and Coach Underwood said this is why he's on Coleman. Because he can be an elite defender, he can be an elite player, and he was extremely proud. You know, his post-game radio show, that was the first thing he talked about. Because if you fans remember, like I said, going back to the years past, that guy has lit Illinois up every single time.
Yeah, it was amazing because I'm conditioned to watch and see Harper, you know, hit an unbelievable three or at least a couple of them. And to get things going in the weirdest fashion. And then he gets on a roll and it just, he couldn't get anything started tonight.
No, he had a hand in his face every single time. And that's something that you can't take for granted. If Illinois is going to defend the way they defend tonight and not turn the ball over, this is the team that everybody in America was expecting to see. Brad, he's right. Nobody's going to guard Kofi one-on-one. It's just not going to happen. Even as big as Arizona is, I don't think they can do it. If they move the basketball the way they move the basketball tonight and they're making open shots, look out, because I think now, from what I've seen, Illinois, to me, is the only team in the Big Ten that I think that can give Purdue a run for the money if they're clicking. And the one thing we haven't talked about, and it's early in this podcast, Cabell's not playing. Austin Hutchinson didn't play tonight. So keep that in mind. I mean, this is a team that we thought was the top five team in the country. At least I know Brad and I did.
Brad, as we look at that defense, were there any other points that you noted out there, you know, that caused this? I mean, this was pretty impressive when you look at the field goal percentage of Rutgers. You know, they shot basically rounded up to 31% from the field. That makes for an awfully challenging time to win. And then also, you know, Illinois turned them over more times, winning the turnover battle this time 14-10, and winning the rebounding, you know, 47-33. A lot of good things to look at for what Illinois was doing tonight.
Yeah, I thought they got really good minutes from Omar Payne off the bench. And I know he didn't take a shot, didn't have a basket, but he grabbed 7 rebounds. He defended the post extremely well. He read ball screens defense well, which is an improvement. He blocked shots. I mean, he had the block on Mulcahy, which sent, you know, Crutch, you know, got really excited about. Yeah. So I thought Omar Payne gave us some really good minutes. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, I think Omar Payne – And now they're not comparable. I think he's actually a better defender in many cases than Kofi, especially because of his ability. But at the same time, you know, obviously offensively they're night and day. So, but I really like, you know, what he gave them. I thought, you know, they got, obviously Jacob Grandison is a light years better defender than he was a year ago as well. He's really making smart plays. DeMonte is DeMonte. He's going to guard. Trent's going to guard. You know those guys are going to play defense. But you know what? The other thing, they tried to post Alfonso Plummer because he's not very big. And they had a size advantage. I mean, I went out when the game started, you looked at Rutgers, you're like, they got – I mean, outside of Kofi, obviously he's an advantage. And Coleman was longer. But if you look at their guards were bigger than Illinois' guards by a wide margin. But – Plummer is so physically strong. He's got that low center of gravity. He's able to hold his own in the post, and he really made it difficult for them to post him and take advantage of that size. So those are defensively some things that I saw that are obviously really, really important as they move on into Big Ten play. They're gonna see teams try and do that, try and invert things, post the guards, bring Kofi away from the basket, do those types of things. So that was really good. The other thing I'll mention, Jacob Grandison took the most shots of his Illinois career tonight. Took 11 shots. Most threes he's ever taken in a game was 4 coming in. He took 5 today. You know, he had, you know, 7 of 11 as well. So, obviously, that's a pretty good day with 16 points. So, I think that's something you're starting to see him more assertive, more aggressive on offense, taking advantage of what the defense leaves him.
And, Ked, I know you're obviously a proponent of getting the youngsters out there and playing. How did you think the freshman did tonight?
I'll tell you what was funny. I thought it was kind of funny when Luke Goody got in the game, knocked down a 3, and then went in. And then the second time he got it, he didn't even think about it. He shot it, and Coach Underwood took him out. And I thought it was kind of comical. But the reason I thought it was kind of funny, if it goes in, he stays in the game probably. But I love this freshman group. I think if you look at the future of the team and the potential recruits that are coming in, they're going to be nice additions to have. I mean, you look at a Luke Goody, you know, that could be a Jacob Grandison in the future, you know, or RJ Melendez. I mean, so you look at the long-term view of the program, those guys are going to be big contributors, I think. I want to talk to you just real quick about Brad made a comment about Omar Payne. I like him as a better defensive player because I'm going to tell you what I like. Kofi sometimes will let you shoot over him, and he won't try to block it. Anything that's around that rim, if Omar Payne could get it, it's coming back to you. And I don't feel – I know anybody that goes up over him, that shot's going back. And I think sometimes maybe Kofi's fatigued and maybe he doesn't, but he can do it. I just, tonight, it was like the light switch clicked on. Something happened. Just think about it. We've never seen him defend like that all season. I haven't seen him shoot the ball like that all season. Haven't seen him move the ball like that all season. And the freshmen, like you said, they came in and they didn't miss a beat. So, I mean, it was encouraging. And this is going to be a tall task to go to Iowa City. Brad Underwood has never won in Iowa City. I think there's only two gyms he hasn't won at. I don't know about Michigan State. I know he hasn't won in Iowa City for sure. So this is going to be a tall task. Iowa, on paper, was supposed to be one of the bottom teams in the conference. I think they're a little bit better than what people give them credit for. Fran's done a good job up there.
Well, and Brad, could it just be the fact that they're a few days removed from the flu and maybe getting a little bit better? I mean, some of that comes to just getting the guys feeling a little better. You know, any other thoughts that you picked up from talking to Coach?
Well, there's no question. I mean, you actually had, for the first time yesterday, you had everyone except Curbelo at practice, and Hutch was back, and so you had all those guys practicing. And you know, RJ's got a tweaked ankle. You got some guys: DeMonte, BBV, Benjamin Bosman's Verdonk, and Hutch and Pods, and all these guys coming off the flu. DeMonte's still sick, honestly, but you know, he's just plays through it because he's different, and so he's a true Illini guy. So I guess you
get. Yep.
But you get those guys. Now you're practicing together. Now you're doing all these. Now you get some cohesion on defensive end, and then you've got, you know, guys are healthy, and they're going to be better when they're healthy. I mean, we've all been there, and you play through sickness. Sometimes you can do it, but it's not easy, and so it's much easier to be healthy. And they were definitely, they're getting better. I want to piggyback one thing Ked was talking about. You know, Omar defending a little better than Kofi sometimes at the basket. Jeff Alexander was on Kofi tonight. He said, get your hands out of your pockets, because a lot of times he was having his hands down and not having his hands up, which is right what Ked was talking about, where Kofi gets his hands down on defense instead of having them up, because, you know, regardless, you're still 7 foot with a 7'5" wingspan. So don't be afraid to put your arms up. Just make him shoot it over you.
Yeah, no, that's good. And, you know, even the best players sometimes forget about that. And I guess, you know, from my vantage point, we met some Illini guys, subscribers, and actually watched at a sports bar in McKinney, Texas. And the thing that really came through on the video screen, you know, when you couldn't really hear the audio, was the extra pass, the extra pass that you were talking about, Brad, where the ball would go from Kofi out, you know, to, you know, you pick your guy, but maybe goes out to Trent, and then Trent skips it over to Plummer, and boom, you know, there goes the wide open three. And that ball movement was really, really visible as a sports fan watching the game. And that also that willingness for the team, you know, there probably would have been some, you know, slightly contested threes, and those guys were unselfish enough to get one more pass and get their teammate wide open. I don't know if that was as evident to you guys there in the assembly hall or not.
I'll tell you what, there's a for the, you know, old school guys, you know, they didn't do a lot of this in old school, but nowadays there's this, I don't want to say it's a play, but it's a drill that a lot of teams play in high school and college. It's called one more. And what it means is, you know, you move the ball around, start the ball on the perimeter, and then you find an open spot and you yield one more, which means you look for the open guy. And a lot of high school and college teams are drilling that into their teammates, into their teams, because that way you know they're looking for the extra pass and the guys who are open for the open shot. And that's kind of what I think Brad was talking about, because they were open. And I like Illinois' chances. I don't care who's shooting it. You know, with this team, if you're open, you're not going to make 100%. But I challenge anybody to say all those guys are going to probably make 40% if they get enough looks. You know, Plummer is just a game changer. And what are they going to do with him when Curbelo comes back? You know, who sits the bench? Because, you know, DeMonte is not scoring, but tonight he was just – That's the best he's looked in a long time. And I know he's sick with the flu. He just came out tonight, coming off the screen. Usually he's a good spot-up shooter. He came off the screen. I've not seen him come off the screen and make a shot like that. It was for catch and shoot, you know, for him, or dribble pull-up. Just not seeing that from Domonte. So I just like where they're going. And it's Big Ten play. And they're going to have another tough non-conference game. So we'll see what they're made of. They can put themselves back in the rankings where I think they belong.
Yeah, it was. There was some pretty good stat lines there. You know, Domonte Williams, 6 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. Pretty good game there. Trent Frazier, 6 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. And, of course, you have the expected Kofi, you know, at 13 points and 15 rebounds, going 5 for 6 from the free throw line. And obviously the scoring burden tonight was led by Alfonso Plummer with 24 points. And he did that on 8 of 15 shooting, including 3 from 8 from the 3-point. And another perfect, as Brad said, another perfect night at 5 for 5. So let's go with some closing thoughts here. Cat, I'm going to let you wrap up, and then we'll go over to Brad. So, Cat, give us an idea of anything that you haven't had a shot to talk about, or anything that you want to restate, or anything that jumps out at you now.
I want to restate what I said about them passing the ball, them defending, and not turning it over. Not turning the ball over to them is huge, and, you know, I mentioned Coleman Hawkins, and I really need to tip my hat to Omar Payne. I'm a big believer in that kid. I don't think this ride is over for him. I think the more he plays, the more comfortable he gets within the system and framework, the better and the deeper Illinois is going to be. On the last podcast, I mentioned him. I think as far as he goes and the better he gets, the further Illinois goes. I like where they are. They've not peaked yet, but they've made a turnaround. Something happened this week. Maybe it's health. Maybe something coach did differently in practice, but I've not seen them look this focused and all season. It didn't matter who was against. So moving forward, I don't want to see them take a step backwards. I know they'll probably have some hiccups on the way, but I want to see them keep putting the foot on the pedal. When you get a chance to finish teams tonight, they didn't let Rutgers back in. They got them down and they finished it.
Yeah, that was nice to see. And Brad, you're going to get the final word before I wrap up with some business.
Yeah, no, I think Illinois did exactly what they needed to do, a home game against Rutgers without Geo Baker is a game you should win. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to win it by 35, but like they did all the time, but they did exactly what they needed to do, took advantage of the situation. The one thing, now you got to look forward, and they're obviously head to Iowa, and that's not an easy place to play. You know, it's been a house of horrors at times for Illinois. But I will say this, Keegan Murray's not playing tonight against Purdue. In large part, my guess is I don't think Fran thought they're winning at Purdue anyway. I mean, Purdue's probably the number one team in the country, and they're losing. I think, so it looks like maybe he's playing to get him healthy on Monday against Illinois. But if he's not 100%, this Iowa team isn't the same team without their star player. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, it's like Illinois playing without Kofi. I mean, you know, it's a different animal. And Purdue, Illinois needs to play a little defense like Purdue does, where they get after you a little bit, make it tough on Iowa. I think that they can win that game in Iowa City. If they play well and if they bring the same defensive energy they have, especially with Murray he's not going to be 100%. There's no question, but he's still probably the best. He's probably the best pro prospect in the conference. So that's going to be a tough matchup Monday, and we'll have more on Sturdy for 30 Sunday night, breaking that one down.
Perfect. Well, you know, and it was interesting. I like to see a team, you know, who can play two halves consistently. So Illinois scored 43 in the first half, scored 43 in the second half to come out at 86. Now, there was some variance in their shooting. They shot 48.39% from the field in the first half and 48.57% in the second half. So I tell you what, you talk about a team that basically came out and, put two solid halves together and played pretty darn effectively in both halves. And that's what happens is you end up getting a blowout when you bring it with all your effort and you execute well.
Can I add one more thing, Mike?
Go right ahead.
How about the fact that they shot 48% from the floor? It seemed, and I think, what were they, 35% from three or something like that?
They were 36.4% from right. three.
Okay, so 36% from three. So that's not exact. That's not like a crazy shooting night.
Yep.
To score 86 points. It seemed like they were shooting the ball so well because they took so many good shots. Even when they missed, they were good shots. And they also got some offensive putbacks and some second chance points. But it's just amazing that it seemed like they were shooting like 60%. You know, somebody said, well, they're just shooting lights out. Well, they really didn't.
Right.
They just shot a typical game. I mean, that's like a normal game shooting, average game shooting, and they score 86 points. That's really impressive.
Yep. Yeah, this was a great performance. Hopefully it bodes well for the balance of the Big Ten season. Obviously, you know, game at Iowa coming up next. IlliniGuys.com, we will be covering that, of course. And certainly right now we have the subscribe to the IlliniGuys.com, get a free sweatshirt, an IlliniGuys.com sweatshirt. It is a awesome sweatshirt. Definitely go to our homepage, take a look at that. Great value for anybody who wants to subscribe, or for those subscribers who would like one. You can also extend your subscription. This is for annual subscribers only. And so if you're, you know, if you are due in January, because you're one of the people who started this journey with us, you would be able to extend it and get that sweatshirt as well. The other thing we have that people need to take a look at, of course, is we have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's on the radio every Friday or Saturday. You got to check the station near you. Go to the radio tab on the Illini Guys webpage and find out what station carries it near you and what time it's on. We would love to have you as a listener, and we'd love to have you reach out to that station and thank them for broadcasting the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. And of course, we have our family of Illini Guys podcasts. Brad mentioned Sturdy for 30. That's one of the top rated college basketball podcasts in the country. You'll definitely want to be listening to that. Obviously, Eye on the Illini. We hit Illini stuff as well. You're definitely want to tune in to all the things we have going on. And KED's Recruiting Roundup is also a feature that we have in the Illini Guys podcast family. Please go ahead and try to go ahead and listen. Give us 5 stars. Those type of reviews really help us out. And of course, whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the United States or halfway across the planet, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know on everything related to Illini sports. With that, I'm saying goodbye for Kedrick Prince, the director of recruiting for Illini Guys, Brad Sturdy, the ultimate Illini insider, and me, Mike Kegley, the master of ceremonies here. Go Illini!